You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and of course, our lovely co-host, Paula Luzon, is not with us tonight. She's on a road trip and a business trip, so she's not going to be able to join us tonight. She'll be back next week with us, and we have a fantastic show next week. Not that we don't have a fantastic show tonight. But next week, we have SOS Liberty joining us. That is a group of high school kids who have formed a conservative group called SOS Liberty, who are fighting for fiscal conservatism and their futures, their very own futures. These are high school kids that realize the path we're on in this country, led by their elders, is suicide. And it's suicide for them. We are forcing this upon them. So very cool bunch of kids, and they're going to be giving us a call and chatting with us over the air. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And that's next Tuesday. Tuesday at 7 p.m. Michael Cutler, our good friend, who's also a broadcaster on the USA Radio Network, he was on the Neil Cavuto show yesterday. So I don't know if you can go to Fox and find past shows or clips or do a search for it, but he was on Neil Cavuto yesterday talking about instead of trying to immigration, but instead of being concerned about illegal immigrants losing their jobs and importing jobs, why don't we start exporting people that are taking jobs in this country? Now, anyways, Michael does a much better job than me, but great stuff on that. So you don't want to miss that. Now, we're going to start right off by playing a sound clip because, let me tell you what the show is going to be about. We're going to talk about the deception of the Obama campaign. This is going to be a common theme as we go through the election season here because his campaign is going to have to lie to us a lot because they don't have a record to run on. So they're going to be diverting the attention. And really the bottom line of their campaign, and I'll get back to this, is going to be what the other guy is going to do to you. And why he just can't live with that. And that's an old Alcee Hastings trick from down here in Florida. So we'll talk about that later. We're going to talk about the deception and hypocrisy, massive hypocrisy coming out of them, targeting Mitt Romney for being CEO at Bain Capital. I will tell you exactly why it's so hypocritic and such a lie to be going after him for killing middle-class jobs. Okay. So that's the show tonight, and then I've got a few other things. There's a great website called ObamaLies.net, ObamaLies.net. We're going to go over their list of lies from the Liar-in-Chief. Interesting website. So let's start off with the soundtrack. This is courtesy of our own Paula Luzon, who couldn't be here tonight, but we're going to play this little clip for you. This is somebody that's very close to the president. Yeah, it's his wife. Oh, yeah. And not to pick on her, but she refers to his home country in the discussion she's having. And let's see what she says is his home country.
When we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya, his home country in Kenya, his home country in Kenya, his home country in Kenya.
All right, that was a little bit of trickery there in terms of repeating her over and over, but I wanted to make sure you understood that. She said his home country of Kenya. Now, I've lived outside of the U.S., and I don't refer to another country as my home country because my home country is the United States of America because I'm a United States citizen. So according to the president, he was born in Hawaii. And at some point did go to Kenya. We understand that. Hey, you can go live in other countries, especially when your parents take you there and you're a kid. Yeah, I have no say in that. But how does that suddenly become a home country? You could say his former country or a country that he lived in when he was young, that kind of stuff. But his home country, I think it's very telling about. Now, you want to speak of telling. I know that people are saying, oh, this guy's a liar, liar, liar. Ed Klein, who came out with the book The Amateur, and it's based on Bill Clinton's rant about how Obama is an amateur in the White House. But probably the most telling to me, the most telling part of this book, because you could say, well, Ed made it up. Ed lied. He interviewed Reverend Jeremiah Wright. And not only has he come on some different shows and talked about that, he gave Sean Hannity the audio. He recorded. So it's not him saying Jeremiah Wright said this or that. It's Jeremiah Wright saying this. And here are some of the damning things that Jeremiah Wright said about President Obama. First of all, he said church was not their thing. They weren't that interested in coming to my church. They came for political reasons. It was purely political, not religious. It was purely political. They needed to have a church, and they needed to have a presence in a large church like that in Chicago to help them out. So it was purely political. Wow. Okay. And the next thing he said was that he helped Obama be more comfortable with Christianity so that he wouldn't have to renounce his Islamic background. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but just to say he had to help him become comfortable with Christianity. So in other words, before meeting Reverend Wright and becoming a part of the church, he wasn't comfortable with Christianity, but he says he's a Christian. But he wasn't comfortable with it. He helped him get comfortable with it. And the big plus there was he wouldn't have to renounce, and that's maybe what he's getting at, is he felt that if he got comfortable, if he embraced Christianity, that he'd have to renounce Islam. But he helped him understand that he wouldn't have to do that. So in other words, which is he, Christian or Muslim? And does it matter? Well, yeah, it does matter, because he keeps telling us one thing, but it's sounding more and more like something else. And then finally, this was probably the most telling, and this tells you what this campaign is going to be about. It tells you what this presidency has been about. And I know the libtards out there, oh, Tom, they all do it, they all do it, they all do it. Yeah, but that's, first of all, they don't. They don't all do it, okay? They don't all do it. What am I talking about? Lie. They don't all lie. Not all politicians lie. Not all presidents lie. So what are we talking about? Well, as he was leaving, he said to Reverend Wright, you know what your problem is? You have to tell the truth. In other words, and Reverend Wright, I listened to the audio tape of a portion of this today discussing this, and he said that, you know, politicians get to lie. And he didn't feel like Obama was at that stage until he got elected, but he made it clear that now that he's president, that once he became president, that's what he told Hannity, once he became president, then he became, you know, a typical politician. So maybe previously as a senator, he wasn't that way. I think he was all along. I think he's a serial liar and has been his whole life. But Reverend Wright is now saying that he is that way now. He'll say whatever it takes. He will lie. And he doesn't have a compulsion about it. So that was his comment to Reverend Wright, essentially. That's your problem. You're a reverend. You're a man of God, and you have to tell the truth. And why did he meet with the Reverend Wright to discuss this stuff? Because he was asking, after one of his close advisors had tried to bribe Reverend Wright with something like $120,000, $150,000 to basically just go away until after the election, went to plead with him to stop making public statements, even stop preaching in public, so that couldn't be used against him. So he was very concerned about his ties to Reverend Wright, threw Reverend Wright under the bus, and made those kind of statements, you know, that your problem is you have to tell the truth. Apparently that's not a problem for President Obama, and that's why we have his list of lies coming up here at the end of the segment. So there we have it, the list, the book on the amateur, and you can say what you want about it, Ed Klein lied in the book, but that he's got the audio tapes of interviewing Reverend Wright. And you can say, well, Reverend Wright lied too. Well, then I guess if anybody ever says anything bad about the president, it's obviously a lie. Just call him lying. The one thing you can't do is call Reverend Wright he's lying because he's a racist and doesn't like Obama because he's black. You can't say that. Now, I do believe Reverend Wright is a racist, but not against black people. So you can't use that little thing there. Okay, so let's talk about the kind of ads that the Obama administration is running and is going to be running. And one is going after Romney as a rich elitist. Yeah, that would be the president, too. Isn't he a rich elitist also? Yeah, he's got a lot of money. And maybe not as much as Romney, but he's got a lot of money. And his kids were born with silver spoons in their mouths. So he's saying Romney, you know, has to be discounted and can't be trusted and can't be he's not in touch with the American people. So what he's telling us is as his kids get older, one day, if they want to get involved in public service, we can't trust them because they were born with silver spoons in their mouths. He's just dissed his own children and their futures. So I don't think this guy cares about 2 minutes into the future. He cares about right now. So he'll say whatever it takes to sound good right now. But on top of that, of Romney being a rich elitist, when he was at Bain Capital and CEO there, you know, he was destroying jobs, destroying companies, destroying lives. Well, that's not the purpose of Bain Capital. That's not what they get paid good money. It's to save companies. But we know that in order to save companies, sometimes you got to trim fat, and some people are going to lose jobs. But many of the companies he helped save then ended up flourishing. And so anybody that may have temporarily lost a job got their jobs back. But they were been running an ad with some folks talking about how they lost their jobs because Bain Capital came and destroyed it. And, of course, this was at a time period after Romney had left. So it wasn't even there anymore. I mean, let's say Obama doesn't get reelected and then, you know, the government does something on down the road. Can we go like, yeah, that Obama, you know, he just destroyed this country. Well, yeah, that would be true. But, I mean, something that happened after the fact, after he left office, can we blame him for that? Because he was president one time. So from here on to eternity, anything that the presidency, the administration, whoever it is, whatever administration does, we can all trace it back to President Obama because that's what he's doing with Mitt Romney. So there's one of the lies. But let me tell you about the hypocrisy. This concept of destroying middle-class jobs, and Joe, the dumb idiot Biden, the dumbest vice president ever to serve in the history of our country, it's well-documented. And he has the distinction of being the dumbest senator ever to serve in the U.S. Senate. There's nobody that's ever been dumber than this guy. Talks about the job destruction that Romney oversaw at Bain Capital. Well, when General Motors was restructuring, first of all, between General Motors and Chrysler, we gave them bailout money, taxpayer bailout money of $60 billion. Romney is absolutely right. They should have defaulted first and gone into bankruptcy. If they needed money to stay afloat through the bankruptcy, then we could have given them, and I'm not opposed to that at all, given them money. But we gave them money up front, and then they still had to go into bankruptcy. So all that money went down the drain. Now, they are paying it back. I think as of February, GM still owes the government $25 billion. And Chrysler is done, $1.5 billion short. They paid everything back except $1.5 billion, and that's just getting written off. So we lost $1.5 billion from Chrysler, and GM, we don't know. But see, they're making money. Well, of course, if you hand a company $30 billion, and then they go into bankruptcy, they ought to be doing good right now. They shouldn't have any bills to be paying. They ought to be doing great, and they're doing good. But he runs around talking about a bailout on how he saved them. Well, let's take a look at what he didn't save. Chrysler and GM shut down 1,900, that's 1,900 dealerships nationwide by July of 2009. You know how many jobs were lost by shutting those dealerships down? At least 187,000 jobs. Do you know how many people are employed at GM and Chrysler? Not that much. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should not have still done what it takes to save GM and Chrysler. I'm not saying that. I'm talking now about the hypocrisy of an administration that says Bain Capital was a job killer. Although it saved companies, it killed jobs. The Obama administration killed 187,000 jobs in its process of saving GM and Chrysler. So what they're claiming Romney did at Bain Capital is precisely what he has done as President of the United States. Exactly the same thing. Now, one of the things that's come out about all those dealerships closing was part of it was a political process, you know, which dealerships get to stay open and don't, which dealerships have donated to the Democrat Party. And also, there was a rush to close these dealerships, and we look back on it now and said, they went too far. They were too fast, too aggressive, and that was the pressure of the Obama administration, because they're amateurs and they don't know what they're doing, to Jeep and Chrysler. Shut them down, get going. And they went too far. So they had to, you know, reopen and rebuild some dealerships since then, so that's a good thing. But this is precisely what Bain Capital does. It goes into a company and looks it over carefully to see how to save it. And in some cases, they're not salvageable. Let me tell you what, if every company Bain Capital went to and saved, they hadn't gone to, so you could say, well, they never killed any jobs. Those companies would be completely gone today. Almost every single one, 9 out of 10 would be completely gone today. All jobs would have been lost. Not some, all jobs. And this is precisely what the president did with General Motors and Chrysler, is you've got to trim the fat. And they did. And they got rid of 187,000 jobs in a few months whack. I mean, rapidly. Mechanics, salesmen, managers, and then suppliers to those dealerships. Okay. So there's your massive hypocrisy. Oh, he killed jobs. What about all of the green energy companies that got guarantees, taxpayer loan guarantees? We're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money has gone down the drain with some of these solar companies that have gone out of business, like Solyndra. How many jobs were killed when they went out of business? This administration has made a point of getting money, funneling money to companies that say they're going to do great and then make solar panels and other types of green technology, and then they go under. So first they hire people, that's good, but then they lay people off, and then they go under, and the taxpayers left holding the bill. Taxpayers left holding the bill. Now, on to some more hypocrisy in this campaign. I'm going back to July 2011, 11th of July 2011. In a press conference, the president calling on congressional Republicans to agree to token tax increases on the wealthy in the name of shared sacrifice. Well, are you saying that their existing tax rates are not a sacrifice as well? So now it's not shared, it's increased sacrifice. That's the right word for it, not shared. They're already sharing in the sacrifice, they're paying taxes. Now it's going to be increased sacrifice. President Obama mentioned the elimination of special tax treatment for corporate jets no less than 6 times in 45 minutes. Glad I didn't I watched some of that, but listening to him speak for 45 minutes, holy Moses. So he kept harping on a tax jet loophole. Let me tell you what the tax jet loophole was. Corporate jets are very expensive. So instead of depreciating these jets when somebody buys one, over 7 years, they were being allowed to depreciate them over 5 years. Higher depreciation means, you know, bigger break on their taxes over that five-year period rather than spreading it out over seven. That was to entice corporations and other wealthy individuals to buy a corporate jet. And it worked. As soon as that loophole was removed, guess what? Boom. There goes a big dip in the corporate jet industry. Lots and lots of jobs lost. Lots and lots of jobs lost. So we're going to say that Mitt Romney killed jobs by saving companies. This president not only didn't save anything with this push for eliminating this break, this tax break, this depreciation break for corporate jet owners, but he killed jobs. Didn't create any jobs, didn't help any companies whatsoever, killed jobs. Now let's fast forward. Because of the damage done, and of course it sounded really good, you know, why would he say it 6 times in a speech? These evil corporate jet owners and jet manufacturers, they're just not paying their fair share. Well, since he damaged that industry so much, he's grasping now at straws to try and undo some of the damage he's done. Here's an article in Beltway Confidential, Obama aide promises $1 billion in corporate jet subsidies. Now, this is not a tax break. This is an actual subsidy, an actual subsidy. So it starts off, remember when Obama was railing about the tax break for corporate jets during the debt ceiling fights of 2011? See, he always needs a straw man. He always needs a false choice out there, which was really about how some corporate jets were depleted. We already talked about. The message was clear. Republicans are in bed with corporate jet owners. His loyal legions of the left joined in on the chant. But today, let's see what the date in this is. Today, this would be May 15th. So that was, what, a day ago? Yeah. But today, Obama's export subsidy chief promised $1 billion in taxpayer-backed subsidies. That's not a loan. That's like handing money. Not a loan, not a tax loophole or break. You're handing corporate jet manufacturers money, taxpayer money. Fred Hochberg heads the Export-Import Bank, a federal agency that subsidizes U.S. exports by loaning money or guaranteeing loans to foreign buyers of U.S. goods. So this is not actually going to the manufacturers. This is going to somebody that wants to buy a U.S.-made corporate jet. And we're going to loan foreigners money, U.S. taxpayer money, or guarantee their loans. So if they default, we're left holding the bill for some foreign sheik or prince who gets a free jet out of the deal. This might be something for senators to consider today as they vote on reauthorizing the export-import legislation. Do they really want to cut subsidies to the corporate jet makers? Imagine the world with more expensive corporate jets. Oh, my gosh. It's also a perfect microcosm of Obama's approach to industry. Tax them more, regulate them more, and then subsidize them more. So you tax them until they're having problems. Then you subsidize them. So we're taking money, giving it back. But all the while, we're skimming money. The government's got to take its share. This is called money laundering. As little as possible should be done outside the reach of government. And that's what that's really what he's doing. You know, hammer them, then help them out a little bit until they're doing them okay. And then you can claim that you helped them out and you're doing okay. But they were evil for having a tax loophole before. Now they're just doing great because we're subsidizing them. So there's more hypocrisy. Flip-flop on the evil corporate jet manufacturers and evil corporate jet owners. All right, here's kind of a funny one before we get into the lie segment. This is on American Thinker from Tom Lifson. And I saw this earlier today in some other places. But did you know that the White House website, which has the bios of every previous president, this administration has gone back into their bios, back about 90 years worth, to edit their bios to include a mention of Obama? I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. So let's see what Tom Lifson has to say about this. He says, it's hard to understand how anyone at the White House thought it was a good idea to insert a reference to Barack Obama into items about previous presidents on the official White House website. The timing of this book, The Amateur, I don't think could be any better. This guy is such a hack. My first thought was it's a parody, a stunt intended to satirize Obama's rampant egotism. Alas, this is real. An actual self-mocking gesture. So easy to ridicule. I mean, this has got to catch on. Saturday Night Live has to do a skit on this. If they don't, then they clearly are partisan hacks themselves that will do anything to carry water for this president. So what's next? Erecting giant portraits of Obama in public spaces? Another gaffe by the Obama team. In a season of exploding cigars, Andrew Malcolm of Investors Business Daily. Now, Andrew used to be with the LA Times, write articles for them. He's a great writer and pretty funny guy. He said, faced with apparently frightening possibility of losing his reelection bid, Barack Obama has inserted himself into the online White House bios of almost every president in the last 9 decades to somehow share and compare their achievements. At one point, Obama even draws his wife into the biographical additions. Imagine the emotional insecurities of a grown man who would have henchmen find and gratuitously insert even the faintest link between this president and almost every president back to Calvin Coolidge. Here's an example. On February 22, 1924, Calvin Coolidge became the first president to make a public radio address to the American people. President Obama became the first president to hold virtual gatherings and town halls. You know, he could put that on his bio page, but he's going and defacing all the other presidents' bio pages. Holy shmoly. If I were, who knows if he did it for a former, either the former President Bush's and Carter. Man, if he did, and I were one of those presidents, I'd be calling him up going like, can you take your crap off of my page, please? Thomas continues on here and says, I'd love to know who thought up this idea, who approved it. The obvious suspect is Barack himself. It is such a spectacularly bad idea that members of the White House staff who saw how egotistical it looks had to bite their tongues. But I'm not sure that the president sweats the details. There are the NBA playoffs to watch after all, so maybe it was someone who messes around with the details. If this was a Michelle Obama or Valerie Jarrett project, opposition could be equally fatal. My hunch is that it was Valerie Jarrett. Now, we got to look at some of the comments, and I'm going to play audio from it's some audio that I've used myself, but not the whole thing. They've pieced it together, but the RNC has pieced together some audio of the president making some of his classic promises that he could never even come close to living up to, but let's see what people had to say. It's apparent that libs like their idols to be arrogant. Obama may have exceeded their wildest expectations. He looks like Benito Mussolini. Look what happened to him. Pride comes before the fall. Power corrupts, and the misperception of one's own absolute power corrupts absolutely. Obama suffers from the delusions of adequacy. If, as it has been said, ignorance is truly bliss, our president must be the happiest man on the planet. It's Romney's campaign to lose at this point. If the Kenyan gets up in the morning, it's a historic event. Even first president to take the morning brief at 10 a.m. Sickening. Now, I've talked with liberals about that. Wow. He has a grueling schedule. I'm like, well, you don't know if he's doing other stuff before that. Well, then put it on the schedule. You know, they're always apologizing for him and carrying water for him. It's like, hey, if he had meetings at 7 a.m., put it on there. Let the people know that you're working your butt off. Remember, he was going to focus like a laser beam. Focus like a laser beam. That was until he decided to go play another round of golf. What I find terrifying for the nation is this. It is very likely that he will, for the rest of his life, make use of what he was told in those morning briefings to make himself feel important. Yeah, don't worry. Whoever wrote this little piece in here, don't worry. The rats will abandon the ship. When he loses this next election, there are going to be more books and articles written by insiders exposing just what an amateur hack this guy really is. It's going to be overwhelming. Unlike any other president ever, we're going to find out more corruption and crap from this guy than anybody could have ever imagined going on in a presidential administration. Let's see. The morning briefing is just a deferential formality. The people actually running the show are at it 24/7. At 10:30, Obambi's practicing his putting on the Oval Office carpet. Let's see. Okay, enough of those. All right, let's play another audio cut here, and then we'll get to the liar in chief lies. But let me see if I can find this one. It's put out by the RNC. I'm not going to play the whole RNC audio bite, but I'll give you most of it, and it's potent. It's some pieced together some different clips that we've played on this show as well. And let's see. Oh boy, you know, when you're looking for the one you want, you can't find. Oh, here it is. Here we go. Lasts about 1 minute.
During the campaign, I said that we must scour this budget, line by line, eliminating what we don't need. And that's why today I'm pledging to cut the deficit we inherited by half by the end of my first term in office.
I pledge to cut the deficit in half by the end of my first term in office.
I pledge to cut the deficit in half by the end of my first term.
The American people are tired of politicians who talk the talk, but don't walk the walk when it comes to fiscal responsibility.
I'll spend the next year making the tough choices necessary to further reduce our deficit and lower our debt.
I promise to go through the budget line by line to eliminate programs that have outlived their usefulness.
And I'm not going to quit until we found every single dime, waste, and misspent money. I promise you that. There's simply too much debt on America's credit card. I'm running to pay down our debt in a way that's balanced and responsible.
Wow. He hasn't lived up to any of that. The annual deficit is now triple what it was when he took office. He was saying it was too big back then. He was running a campaign saying, I will cut the deficit in half. The deficit when he took office the previous year had been about 400. Now, remember, we're talking about deficit and debt. They're two different things. Deficit is how much farther we're going into debt each year. The total debt is over $15 trillion right now. So he's racked up under his watch over $5 trillion. Now, he made the promise, and you heard him in his words, promise, 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 to cut that deficit in half. The deficit means the annual deficit spending that the government was spending, which at the time, the previous year, was $400 billion under George Bush. That would mean he'd get it down to $200 billion. That would be cutting it in half. Where is it now? It's at $1.4 trillion. So $400 billion to $1.4 trillion is more than three times the size. He's not only not cut it in half, he's tripled it in size. Now, an interesting thing to understand here, the media is already talking about the upcoming debt ceiling fight. It's going to happen. The debt ceiling is going to be reached 2 weeks after the November election. So they're already preparing to do something about it now so it can be taken care of, without waiting till that two-week period after the election. Why do you think the Senate has refused to pass a budget? Now, they can write budgets, but the fact is the Senate cannot author bills that raise revenue. So, in other words, a budget they can't write, because they can take the House's budget and adjust it. They can take any other House bill, and this is their underhanded way of doing it, and delete everything in the bill, and then write a budget and say, well, it was a House bill to begin with. That's one way they can actually do a budget. But they haven't done any of those things for 3 years now. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because when you do a continuing resolution, now remember, this was the last time that we've had continuing resolutions, then we've had the debt ceiling. Continuing resolution says, all right, we don't have a budget. We're just going to agree to continue spending, living under the past budget. Well, that allows them to have these $1 to $1.5 trillion deficits, because they get to keep spending massively more money than anybody has ever spent in the past. That's why they don't want to do a budget. The Senate does not want to write a budget. The president doesn't seriously want a budget. He writes something that not one Democrat in the House, not one Democrat in the Senate votes for. They all say no. So he doesn't really want a budget, because he gets to keep spending money like a drunken sailor under these continuing resolutions. If the Democrats were to win in this next election, you will never see a budget again. We will stick with these $1.5 trillion deficits, because it's free money. They just go, well, we can't agree on a budget, so we'll just continue the way we were spending before, which is, as I said, more than three times the amount of the deficit in George Bush's final year in the White House. So he promised, you heard it right there, to cut the deficit in half. He's made no attempt whatsoever. He's done everything he can to spend more and increase the deficit, increase it beyond anything anybody ever imagined. I never imagined I would see deficits this big on an annual basis in my lifetime. Never thought I'd see it. So let's go on over now to the website, ObamaLies.net, and the list of lies. There are a lot of good things on there, but you know, some of the recent posts on there are Obama empty campaign promises coming back to bite him. Good article there. But let's go down and look at some of the lies. Obama lies during his third year, so this current year right now. Well, actually, we're technically into his fourth year. In his 2012 State of the Union address, the president said that American oil production is the highest that it's been in 8 years. Not true. I've done more for Israel's security than any president. Yeah, like aiding Islamic extremists in Egypt and Libya, where now weapons from those countries are pouring into Gaza. to be used against Israel. And Egypt has broken off any accords that it had and treaties that it had passed with Israel before. Yeah, great job, Mr. President. So you have not done more. That's an outright lie. He's done absolutely nothing. In fact, done everything he can to undermine Israel. Virtually every Senate Republican voted against the tax cut last week. That's what he said. That was not true. Every idea that we put forward are ones that traditionally have been supported. He said every idea by Democrats and Republicans alike. Raising taxes, that's not something that Republicans ever support. So that's not true. That is not true. Obama met highly qualified out-of-work teacher Robert Burrows. Truth was, he wasn't out of work. And the president, I saw that little clip the other day where he talked about, you know, how he was out of work. And the truth was, he had been laid off a few times in the past, but he said he was out of work and that he met him. And Obama never met him. And he was not out of work. The Republicans are responsible for Obama jobs bill not passing. The Democrats rejected it as well. So it's not all politicians were responsible for his crappy bill. He said you have 80% of American people who support a balanced approach. 80% of American people support an approach that includes revenues and includes cuts. So the notion that somehow the American people aren't sold is not a problem. Gallup poll, 69%, not 80%. Now, I know we're talking semantics here. Well, I'm just telling you, even little things, big things, little things, he lies about everything. One of the things that they're putting out and their surrogates are doing for them, like Howard Dean and Joe Biden, is Republicans hate blacks. They hate women. They hate Latinos. Now, if you paid attention to the show, my name is Garcia. My last name is Garcia. I'll say it like a gringo, Garcia. I'm an American of Hispanic heritage. So according to Joe Biden and Howard Dean, I must hate myself. I hate myself for being Hispanic. Hate myself. Because Republicans and conservatives hate Latinos and Hispanics. I know some great, great. In fact, you know who some of the most conservative, staunch conservative Republicans that I know here in Florida? They're Cubans. Because they got to live in a communist country where everything was fair. Everybody did their fair share. Nobody got ahead of anybody else. Everybody was equal. Free health care, free this, free that. Well, when it's available. They know what it's like to live in a Marxist, socialist, communist state. And they tell amazing stories, and they're the most adamant about following our Constitution and keeping this a representative republic. And anti-Obama. So when the people like Howard Dean and Joe Biden say that Republicans hate Latinos, wow, there are a lot of Republicans that hate themselves. Interesting. Here we go. I cannot guarantee that those checks – now, this is one of the debt ceiling, you know, issues. I cannot guarantee that those checks go out on August 3rd if we haven't resolved this issue. That was not right. They were going to go. They were going to go. We already had the money to pay those Social Security checks. So he'll use seniors as hostages when, in fact, they're not hostages at all because there simply may not be the money in the coffers to do it. That was a lie. That was an outright lie. The money was there, and they're at the top of the list for getting money when the government runs out of money. The USA is producing more oil than ever before. That's a lie. A fence between U.S. and Mexico is practically complete. According to the Department of Homeland Security, it says it's 5% complete. So that's practically complete, 5%. Wow, that's a new term. That's a new definition for complete. How about during the second year? He claimed that the Supreme Court decision of Citizens United versus the FEC opened the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations, to spend without limit in our elections. Not true. If you want to find out, go to thenationalreview.com and take a look at their article on that, and they explain why that's absolutely not true. He said no signing statements to nullify or undermine congressional instructions as enacted law because he said that, you know, George Bush did that and he would not do it. He's done a whole bunch of signing statements and executive statements to undermine congressional instruction and legislation. No boots on the ground in Libya. Anyone that has worked with the AC-130 gunship can tell you need spotters to let aircraft know where the targets are. Now, This is my take on it, because you know that I was a fighter pilot in the Navy and I'm a commercial airline pilot. He said, no boots on the ground. Well, there were boots in the air. Is he saying that soldiers on the ground in Libya would violate the War Powers Resolution, but soldiers in the air, in Libyan airspace, that's A-OK? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Second of all, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you don't have the authority to put boots on the ground somewhere, and nothing in the War Powers Resolution. It says you cannot commit troops to a conflict. It didn't say just soldiers that will be standing on the ground, terra firma. No. It's soldiers in the conflict. So does he not think that aviators count? That aviators flying over the skies getting shot at in Libya, that's no big deal. We got plenty of aviators and airplanes. So we lose a few of those. But soldiers, we can't lose one of those. So can't have that. So it's true. It's not true, number one. And I know some people that were there, that were in the military, not CIA, but were in the military and were inside Libya. Second of all, plenty of our aircraft were flying missions over Libya. That's the same exact thing. But he's too much of a schmuck and an amateur to know that an aviator dropping bombs in Libya is the same thing as boots on the ground. You're in a conflict, and that's what the War Powers Resolution says. Conflict. Okay. Let's see what else. I will not rest until the BP oil spill stops. And there's a link right here to his schedule during that time period where he did get plenty of rest. I didn't expect him to not go to bed, but he golfed and did all kinds of other things, campaigned. So that wasn't exactly like sitting, at the monitor watching what was going on day by day. But that's what he said he was going to do. I'm just telling you, I don't expect him to do that, but he said he was going to do it. If you like your health care plan, you can keep it. That's an outright lie. We already see people getting dropped. And now the government exchanges aren't even up and running yet, so they've got nothing. But when the government exchanges come, they'll be forced into a government exchange, or whatever the government exchange says they get is what they get. So that was an outright lie. Let me see if we might even have that audio. Let's see what that would be called. I may have gotten rid of that one. Although we do have another of – oh, yeah, here it is.
If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor. Period. If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan.
No matter what you've heard, if you like your doctor or health care plan, you can keep it. Under the reform we seek, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Now see, that was an outright lie. These health exchanges are going to be subsidized or paid for by the government, by you, the taxpayer. And they're going to run the insurance companies out of business because they can't compete. They can't compete. They've got to turn a profit. But the government-run exchanges, they don't have to turn a profit. They can just suck up more of your taxpayer money. So that was not right. It was never intended. You were never intended to keep your health insurance provider or your doctor or your current health plan. You were never intended to keep it. So he lied up front about it. He knew that up front, and that's what the bill is designed to do, is drive insurance companies out of business so that the only thing left is the government, and that's what we want. But now let's take another look at one of his promises. This goes back a ways, about using the stimulus money to create, to stimulate the economy, and how many shovel-ready jobs across the country there were available. I mean, he promised. He told us. They're all ready to go. He either lied or he's completely incompetent and doesn't know any better. And we'll find out that he's completely incompetent based on the next audio bite that I play.
I think we can get a lot of work done fast. When I met with the governors, all of them have projects that are shovel-ready. We've got shovel-ready projects all across the country. Shovel-ready projects, rebuilding our roads, our bridges. We are seeing shovels hit the ground. Shovels are breaking ground. There are almost 100 shovel-ready transportation projects already approved in Colorado, which are beginning to create jobs.
Boy, all those shovel-ready jobs. That should just turn the economy around. Should have just turned the economy right around. Except we find out later on, here's the president himself.
Shovel-ready was not as shovel-ready as we expected. Shovel-ready was not as shovel-ready as we expected.
Well, there you go. He's completely incompetent. He had no clue that those shovel-ready jobs really weren't shovel-ready. But he was so sure of it at the time, and he reassured the American people. So once again, the amateur. Let's take a look at a couple more of his lies. Under our plan, no federal dollars will be used to fund abortions and federal conscience laws will remain in place. I guess not so much anymore. You know, every healthcare plan is going to be under the Obamacare bill. Now, every healthcare plan is going to be taxed or a fee. You are going to pay a fee. Every time you make a payment to your healthcare provider, your health insurance company, $1 is going to go to abortions. Yeah, it's called the abortion fee. Now, if there are, say, 150 million Americans, let's make it, well, we got 300. It's only 40 million Americans. Wait, no, not citizens. Yeah, 40 million people. So let's just say 200 million Americans that have health insurance. That's every month a dollar. $1 goes to the abortion fund. That's 200 million a month. That's over $1 billion. I mean, that's, you know, $1.2 billion a year. $1.2 billion a year for abortions. How many abortions does he think we're going to start having here in this country? I mean, my gosh, we need $200 million a month to cover abortions? What the hell? Okay, Obamacare fee is not a new tax. Obama denies health care is a tax on Americans. But then that's precisely the argument that his lawyers made before the Supreme Court, that it's a tax. Because they can't penalize you. They cannot penalize you. The federal government can't penalize you for something unless you fail to do something pay your taxes. Then, yeah, they can put some fees on there. They can put some penalty fees on there. But the only thing the federal government, the Congress, has the authority to do with this legislation is tax you, raise revenue. So he said it's not a tax, but then his lawyers argued before the Supreme Court that it is a tax. So that was a lie. That was a lie. The real truth is he didn't want it to be a tax, but it's going to be whatever it has to be to get past the Supreme Court, which, guess what, isn't going to work, because I am telling you right now, Supreme Court's going to strike it down. We've run out of places in the U.S. to drill for oil. That was in June 2010. Now, remember, we just saw the GAO, full time, but the GAO just said there is more oil, usable oil, extractable oil in Wyoming and some of the other states up there in the north, midwest area. More oil than all of the proven reserves in the rest of the world. They're saying there's about 3 trillion barrels of oil, of which at least half of that, 1.5 trillion barrels, are accessible. So you said we've run out of places? Wrong answer, dumbass. Okay, now suddenly if you don't have your papers and you took your kids out to get ice cream, you could be harassed. That's something that could potentially happen. He was talking about the Arizona immigration law. I read that bill as soon as it came out. There's no way that you can be harassed because of the way you look. You can't. If you go to get ice cream at the ice cream parlor, a cop can't harass you for not having your papers. You would have to be robbing the ice cream parlor or committing a crime and then getting arrested and then asked, so who are you? Give us some proof of identification. Hey, if you've ever gotten a speeding ticket, did the officer ask for identification? And technically, most states, if you don't have your driver's license, they can take you to jail for not having a driver's license. Anyway. Let's see. Let's go down to this first year. We began by passing a Recovery Act that has already saved and created 150,000 jobs. Caught cooking the books and now changed to jobs supported versus created. So they said created jobs, and now they had to say, well, created or saved, which saved, you can never prove that. So, nice lie. Number one, we inherited a $1.3 trillion deficit. That wasn't me. Congress, under Democrat control in 2007 and 8, controlled the purse strings that led to the deficit Obama inherited. Obama supported the emergency bailout package in Bush's final months. He voted for it as a senator, a package Democrat leaders wanted to make even bigger. So what he inherited, he voted for himself. He says, that wasn't me. Well, you weren't president, but you were a senator, and you voted for it. It just goes on and on. Then there's a list of 2008 campaign lies. No more wiretapping of citizens. Oh, that's what he's still doing. Let's see. I had an uncle who was part of the first American troops to go to Auschwitz and liberate concentration camps. Nope. He didn't have an uncle that did that. Obama campaign said he would accept public funding. In other words, he would take the public funding and not have to raise money. And then he realized he was raising a lot of money, so he said, yeah, I'll stick with raising money. He promised that the minimum wage would go up to $9.50 an hour. Didn't happen. Didn't know that Jeremiah Wright was a radical. Now, we've just had, I told you about the interview earlier in the show about Reverend Wright having people from his camp and he himself coming and saying, don't go out there and talk they actually talked with him before it came out what a radical that Reverend Wright was. This is in the book, and again, it was in the audio tapes that Hannity was playing today, where he was going to give a prayer at the opening of the Democrat caucus in Iowa. And Obama himself and his chief of staff both called Reverend Wright and said, listen, don't say anything to offend anybody. So why would you ask somebody that's not a radical and that's a straightforward a reverend in a regular church to be careful what you say so you don't offend anybody? Because they knew what he was. So he said, I didn't know he was radical. Outright lie. He knew that. And how do you attend a church for 16-some years and know this gentleman for over 20 years and not on a personal level and not know that about him? Bunch of baloney. That's an outright lie. Now, I did hear him say that he had visited all 57 states. Oh, he was tired, you know. I could make a statement about the states in my sleep, and I know I'd get the number right. He said he'd get rid of earmarks. Now, didn't do that. When a bill lands on my desk, the American people will have 5 days to review it before I sign it. Didn't happen with Obamacare. Nope. Gosh, the list goes on and on. And if you have a lie that you've got caught and you've got, you know, the documentation for it, you can submit it to this group. And they're collecting all lies. So there's just so many of them, it's almost hard to keep up with. So there you have it. So before we go here, we'll play the audio that we played at the beginning. I know it's kind of hard to listen to, but I got rid of a lot of audio clips that I had saved that were just really hard to listen to, especially the ones by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, or as we like to call her, Debbie, what's her next lie, Schultz. But we're going to play this one as we go out today, just to make sure that, you know, we don't forget the kind of hypocrisy and lies that we've already heard and that we're going to hear as this campaign goes forward from this administration. And let's just keep in mind where this president really came from, where his heart really lies, and what he thinks about his home country.
When we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya, his home country in Kenya, his home country in Kenya, his home country in Kenya.
Well, it's hard to listen to, but it's so true. His home country in Kenya. Boy, the truth slips out sometimes, doesn't it? All right, folks, thanks for being with us today. And don't forget, check out our Facebook page. It's the American Hour Radio Show on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, you should get on there just for being able to check us out. But also, our Twitter site. Our Twitter feed is fantastic. I put all kinds of stuff out throughout the week, stuff you're not going to get from the mainstream media, and almost always with links to the articles or documentation to enlighten you on what's really going on. And a lot of the stuff that I talked about tonight, you're going to find links to those articles on my Twitter feed. Twitter's cool. If you don't know anything about it, just go check it out. It's different than Facebook. It's something completely different. People can only type sentences up to 140 characters /spaces and letters, etc. And so they're short and sweet. And you find people that are fun to follow because they have great ideas and they're short, sweet statements, links to important information. It's worth getting a Twitter account. And if you get a Twitter account, look for us. Every account holder has sort of a moniker, a name, and it starts with the symbol at whatever. Why? I don't know. That's just how they do it. But anyways, we are the American Hour. Short and simple. The American Hour. So it would be at the American Hour. On Twitter, follow us. And we are up to 6,400 followers now. We're doing great. And you're going to find out information about upcoming shows, and I'm going to be posting that information tomorrow about our show next Tuesday with SOS Liberty, great bunch of conservative high school kids who are sharp, and they're going to be a blast and a riot to listen to and chat with. And you can join in the conversation because we can take dozens of callers at our call-in number. It's listed on Twitter, Facebook, and our website. Our website is usaradionetwork.com. If you can't remember that, you know who I am, Tom Garcia. Just type tomgarcia.com. It'll take you right to our website. Okay, so do that for us, and don't miss our great show that we're going to have next week with these high school kids. I don't know that much about them. I've read a little bit on their Facebook page, but they strike me as really sharp and really with it, and it's going to be real refreshing to hear the youth talking about the problems they see and what they think needs to be done. So thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be back with you next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Have a great weekend. The rest of the week.
You're listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.